Children's Church. Boy, isn't that great? All right. Big time. Fun time. Awesome. Rest of you got to stay. Amen? Got to stay. Well, what a weekend of events with the tragedy in France. Well, our hearts go out to those folks, and we'll certainly be praying for them specifically tonight after we have the preaching time and the singing time tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll certainly lift up those folks, and difficult days ahead. And evil's all around us, isn't it? I want to tell you, in an evil world needs a gospel message. An evil world needs to know what the love of Christ is. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin reading here in verse 40. We'll finish out the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so blessed and thankful to have you with us. And if you're going, man, this is different. They preach out of the Bible, and that's kind of what a New Testament church does. Notice no smoke and lights up here on the platform. It's just straight Bible preaching. We don't even show you much video vignettes and don't put much PowerPoint up on the screen. We figure God gave you a brain between those two ears, and you know how best to take your notes. Amen? You know, I can bring it and preach it, but you've got to choose some of it. All right? Amen? All right. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, the Word of God reads this. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Isn't that a beautiful phrase right there? And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Not 30 minutes later or the next day, immediately, the gospel writer records for us, and as soon as he had spoken, verse 43, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. He blazed it, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so thankful, Lord, that we can gather in your name, that we can sing songs of praise to you, that we can ask to have a changed heart today. Lord, we pray for those that need a change in their lives. We pray for those that are holding on by a thread. We pray for those that feel so hopeless. Father God, we pray that the preaching of your word, that the singing of these songs, that the prayers of the saints, the fellowship contained herein, we pray it would lift, it would encourage, it would draw folks back to your side. Father God, may we be a church on mission, taking this gospel to the highways and the byways, sowing the seed to those that so desperately need to hear it, even those that are filled with hate today to want to maim and kill and murder. May the gospel even spill into their hearts. May you convict them, save them, and draw them to your side. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. During Jesus' ministry, he will meet the full range of physical needs. He's going to see about anything and everything. He runs into fever. He's already done that with Peter's mother-in-law. He comes across blindness. Jesus runs into blood disease. He is confronted with epilepsy, with palsy, with paralysis, with atrophy because of the paralysis and palsy. He comes across insanity. And then this little boogaboo right here that we find in verses 40 through 45, leprosy. Of all these physical maladies, of all these diseases and shortcomings and physical problems, leprosy is the symbol of hopelessness. Oh my goodness. A leper is not only considered physically incurable, but he also suffers under social rejection and spiritual condemnation. Before he even dies, he's condemned. He's condemned to be isolated, to be by himself, to be left for the vultures. Three things I want to share with you about this passage of Scripture. This is Jesus' hour, amen? Three things I want to share with you this morning about these verses 40 through 45 are simply this. Your hopelessness, if ever you felt that, if ever you knew somebody in that boat, your hopelessness, their hopelessness, someone's hopelessness, listening to this today, your hopelessness is an invitation for Jesus to minister to you. Praise God. Jesus ministers to those that so desperately need Him. Look at verse 40, Mark chapter 1. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. My goodness. Your hopelessness is an invitation. But before we really address your hopelessness, let's think about the leper's hopelessness, because he is the picture of what hopelessness is. Physically, leprosy seems hopelessly incurable because it reverses what? It reverses the pain process. Most diseases that you have and that I come across and that we experience and that we see in our families, most diseases have a pain response. Most diseases have an early warning system of pain, of discomfort that kind of aids us in the healing process. Well, that hurts. Let's make that feel better. Bring healing there. But leprosy is just the opposite. The disease of leprosy, it destroys the signal system for pain, leaving the body without its natural protection against self-destruction. So this is what happens. A leper is burned. Doesn't feel it. A leper is cut, doesn't feel it. A leper is broken without any warning of pain, and the consequences are that skin falls off, that fingers become detached, that arms are dropped, that toes are left, and that legs die and drop away in defiance of the normal process of the body to heal itself. It is physical hopelessness rolled all up. In the absence of pain, the leper loses the hope of healing. Oh, but there's more hopelessness than just physical hopelessness, isn't there, church? Yeah, socially, leprosy seems hopeless because lepers are grotesque. Oh, they're grotesque. Respectable society labels them contagious and sends them away. Let's just get them out of here. Put them in exile. You know, it's one thing to be condemned to die. It is another thing to be condemned to die alone. To be condemned to die alone. Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46 reads this, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." Man, if you were decent folk back in the day, you avoided these people at all costs. Oh, decent people avoided the contamination of even the leper's shadow. You didn't walk in such a way that the shadow of a leper would fall on your path. You don't even share the shade of a tree with a leper. Did you know that? Not even the shade of a large, expansive tree. You wouldn't even get under the shade if the leper was underneath that tree at the same time. One of the rabbinical writings of the day says, if a leper stands under a tree and a clean man passes by under that tree, the latter, the clean man, becomes unclean. In other words, if there's a leper under a tree and the clean man does not touch the leper, but he actually shares the shade of the leaves, then he is unclean. Which meant what, Pastor? Well, this unclean man or woman or person, they can't participate. They can't go to temple. They can't be in the synagogue, at least for a period of time. They've got to be what? Ceremonially unclean. Well, that was big back then. You couldn't go to worship. You have to stay away from other people. And this ostracization, being ostracized, was a way of punishing. It was a way of punishing folks that even accidentally came in contact with someone that had leprosy. Oh, but there's more. Not just physically hopeless, not just socially hopeless, but spiritually. See, spiritually, leprosy, what is it? It models what it is to be dead in one's trespasses and sins without hope. You say, I'm not quite tracking there. But see, because lepers were contagious, they were excluded from worship, excluded from the presence of God in the temple. That there was no worship for them. I mean, Jesus hadn't come out of the temple. He wasn't coming into people's hearts. He was there in the temple. Right? Folks were looking forward to that. A leper in the advanced stages of the disease in real time, he looked on the outside church, the way a lost person looks on the inside, dead already. Walking death. Dead already. No hope of healing or resurrection of life. I want to tell you, we think about the grotesqueness of leprosy. If you're lost today, oh, you may have young-looking skin. You may have all your hair and all your faculties and you look normal on the outside, but if you're lost today, what we're talking about physically here is what you are in here. Friend, I want to tell you, you need a healing today. Well, you need to be made clean today. You need a multi-dimensional salvation today, and Jesus has come to give it. Amen? He has come to give it to you this morning. Well, that's the leper's hopelessness. What about your hopelessness? I wonder if your hopelessness is a result of something physical. I wonder if it's something social. Something that has to deal with your family life, with your marriage, or your children. Or perhaps your hopelessness is spiritual. Just like the leper, hopelessness has to be dealt with. Hopelessness has to be faced. Hopelessness has to be engaged. See, once you admit you're hopeless, you can't do it on your own, you need some help, you're not going to make it. Once you do that, Jesus. Oh, that's when Jesus ministers to you. That's when Jesus comes through. I want you to think about this leper for a moment. The laws of the land, the social codes of the day, the taboos that surrounded leprosy. I don't think we really get a hold of. I don't think we realize what a mad dash for life this was in the life of the leper. Oh, friend, when the leper says, if thou wilt, if thou wilt, as he rushes up on Jesus and falls to his leprous knees and says, if thou wilt, he's breaking numerous rules. He's breaking numerous laws and codes of the day. If Jesus says nothing, if Jesus just looks past him and says nothing and maybe takes a step back as to not be in the leper's shade, maybe takes a step back so as some of the spittle coming from the leper's mouth as he cries out doesn't hit the hem of his garment. If Jesus just backs up, They drag the leper off and either stone him or leave him for dead. Oh, but not our Christ. Not our Christ, folks. Oh, no, not Jesus. This leper throws himself on Jesus' mercy, and our Christ, he responds as he always does, doesn't he? Amen? He responds. See, your hopelessness is an invitation for Jesus to minister to you. But secondly this morning, Jesus' compassion. Everybody say compassion today. Compassion. Yeah, one more time. Compassion. That's right. Jesus' compassion gives him entrance into my deepest sorrows. Look at verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. That's what Jesus does. To match the most difficult of human needs, to match the most difficult of human hopelessness, Jesus responds with the deepest of human feelings. The word compassion, whoa, what a powerful word. The word compassion derives from the same Greek word that means viscera, that means bowels, that means intestines, or in our vernacular, we would say guts, wouldn't we? Yeah. Jesus got some guts, doesn't he? He's got some guts to get in some pretty tough situations and turn them around, doesn't he? Yeah, our Savior has guts. Jesus, moved with compassion, means that he feels himself. Jesus feels himself so deeply into the sufferings of the leper that it is just as if he himself is suffering as a leper. Jesus says, when he says, I'm willing, he says, I'm blood for blood, I'm gut for gut, I am stomach for stomach, as he feels his way into the leper's needs. I love the fact that Jesus touches this old boy. Just didn't have to touch him. Symbolically, Jesus touches the leper, saying he will take the leper's place. But Jesus does not need to touch him to heal him, does he? Oh no, Jesus can speak the healing and the healing happens. Jesus can look and the healing happens. Jesus can think and the healing happens. You can brush up against Jesus' garment and get healed, right? We know that Jesus can heal in all these ways. But Jesus chooses to touch the most hopeless, the most grotesque, the dirtiest, the most unclean imaginable, violating every medical warning, risking every social taboo. Jesus lets the leper know, because he's moved with compassion, that he will take his place. What about the law? What about the rabbinical code? Jesus fulfills the law, doesn't he? He satisfies the law with compassionate grace here. Amen? That's what our Christ does. One moment, this man was in violation of the Hebrew law. The next minute, he is healed, and the law of separation no longer applies to him. Think about this for a moment. If this guy was a Greek, this leper, if he was a Roman leper, he would have said, if you're willing, you can make me well. If you're willing, you can heal me. But this old Jewish boy, what does he say? If you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. See, this Jewish leper wants to be clean before God spiritually. This Jewish leper, he wants to be clean before his community socially. This Jewish leper, he wants to be clean before his family physically. Did he have a wife? Did he have kids? How long has it been since he's touched them, embraced them, kissed them, right? How long? How long? The leper knows he needs a multi-dimensional salvation. That's what I love about Jesus. Jesus provides. He gives us a multi-dimensional salvation. Jesus makes the work life better, doesn't he? Makes family life better. Jesus makes spiritual life reality. And we can have this dimension of New Testament church life. Amen? Oh, it's multi-dimensional when Jesus gets a hold of us. What might your need be this morning? what might your need be this morning in regards to Jesus? In regards to what Christ can do for you? Think through it. What might your need be? What are you missing? What are you needing today? What, where are you falling short spiritually? Socially, physically, where is it? Jesus, He gives us what we need, doesn't He? Maybe not exactly what everything we want, but Jesus gives us what we need. Your hopelessness is an invitation for Jesus to minister to you. Secondly, Jesus' compassion gives Him entrance into my deepest sorrows. And thirdly today, Jesus' instructions. The instructions that Christ gives the healed leper are the illustration of what happens to saved sinners. I love this part of the passage. I mean, I just simply love it. Look at verses 44 and 45. "And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." But look at verse 45. "But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." For the leper, Jesus said, you got to go to the priest. You got to get on down there. Go to the priest and follow the instructions given in Leviticus chapter 14. You can read that this afternoon. It's a great little read if you like steps. Step one, step two, if you like all that stuff. I like that kind of stuff, so I enjoy reading Leviticus. You may not, but you may have interest after this message to do it. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." Just to kind of paraphrase and take us through the myriad of verses in that chapter. "On the first day of an eight-day process, the priest shall take two living and clean birds. One of the clean birds was placed in a jar, and they killed it. The other bird was dipped into the blood of the dead bird and was sprinkled seven times the cleansed leper, right? And after the sprinkling, the bird was let free." The live bird. The bird in the jar didn't get to go free, right? You get that? Okay. "This first sacrifice signifies the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ." It's right there in the Jewish law, amen? That Jesus fulfills. "So on the eighth day, the priest takes..." We're not done with the two birds. On the seventh day, on the first day this guy gets to shave. Shave. On the seventh, and wash. On the seventh day, he's going to shave and wash again. And then here we are on the eighth day. "On the eighth day, the priest takes two male lambs without blemish and one ewe of the first year, one ewe lamb without blemish, of the first year without blemish. From these three animals, a series of three offerings are made. A sin offering, a burnt offering, and a trespass offering are made, whereby all three lambs are killed." Two birds and three lambs. "The blood of the trespass offering..." That's the last offering that's offered for the man, is placed. The blood of that last offering is placed on the man in three strategic places. The first place is the man's right ear, signifying his ability to hear God's word again in corporate worship. He's coming back to the temple. The man's right thumb, blood is placed on, signifying his ability to do God's work again, to provide for his family. Amen? The man's right big toe. Blood is placed on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe, signifying his ability to carry on God's walk. And then you know what they do? The priest would take oil and put on top of the blood, top of the man's ear, thumb, and toe. All of that signifying what? Person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, right there it is, right there in the Jewish law. See, when you were saved, you were cleansed by what? The shedding of who? Jesus' blood. It covers you today, amen? It's been placed on you. You've been washed today, right? And then the Holy Spirit seals you for the what? The day of redemption. There it is. Amen. Now, for the leper, he has Christ's life. And Christ has his life. In other words, Jesus has given the leper his cleanness and taken the leper's uncleanness. Jesus, in a sense, get this, he's treated as an outcast from here on out. From here on out. That Jesus, verse 45 says, that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. Where had the leper been? Outside the city. In desert places, kind of in exile, Pastor. That's where the leper had been. Well, not anymore. No, he's telling it everywhere he goes in the city. Who's outside the city now? Jesus. Wow, isn't that amazing? Publishing and blazing abroad the matter of his healing. The healed leper, there he is. You know what we see here? We see the paradoxical nature. I know that's a heavy theological thing to talk about at this early hour of the morning. Some of us have been up pretty early. I've had plenty of coffee. This makes all kinds of sense to me, but paradoxical, it's okay, man. Just write it down and look it up, right? Google it, right? It'll give you some. Paradoxical. We see the paradoxical nature of Christ. On the one hand, there is the drive. The drive to do what? The drive, the purpose, the mission. Look at verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Right? On the one hand, we have that. And on the other hand, there's this compassion. There's this grace, there's this mercy, there's this touch. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He's done it. He's done it with the leper already. Jesus gives up his open, no conflict ministry in that city. I wish I could tell you what city it is. I do not know what city it is. It's in the region of Galilee. It could be one of many. I know it's not Capernaum because chapter 2:1 tells us he goes back into that city. I don't know what city it is, but I'll tell you this. He couldn't go back into it because of this one touch. For the sake of touching and healing a single soul, that's how much you mean to Christ. Just one of you. Just one of you needs salvation. Christ would have done it all. We all needed it, amen? We all needed it. All of humanity needed it, right? And I want you to notice as we close this morning, notice that the grace of God does not end for the healed leper. I mean, Jesus told him to do one thing, and we don't know in the passage if he ends up finally getting to the priest, but he's certainly practicing delayed obedience, and we always call that in my home. Delayed obedience is none other than disobedience. But I did it. Why am I still being punished? Because you didn't do it when I said to do it, right? So you're still getting the swats or the timeout or something taken away or you name it. It's a part of your disciplinary plan that you get to experience. Well, why? So that the next time I tell you to do it, you'll do it when I tell you. Don't delay the obedience. Obey. This guy did what? If he did obey, it was delayed, wasn't it? Notice the grace of Christ. Jesus doesn't say, whoa, time out here, buddy. I told you to go to the priest. Don't be talking about this. You're out talking about this. Leprosy back. Go on. He doesn't do that, does he? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the grace of God? His forgiveness to us? God doesn't say, you disobeyed me, so here's your leprosy back, or worse, you know, why don't you just fall dead? Christ doesn't do that, does he? My soul, what a Savior we have. God keeps the excited testifier well and whole. Well and whole. I want to tell you today, this same Jesus manifested through the corporate worship of the saints here today, this same Jesus is here for you right now. Right now. And I want to tell you, this same grace, this same compassion, this same kind of mercy, this same kind of approach is here right now. You say, oh, Pastor, man, I can't get back to the point I once was. I just cannot get back to that spiritual point. I just feel like I'm on this plateau. I feel like I'm just slipping backwards all the time. I just can't get it going. Friend, I want to tell you, He's here to help you with that. Amen? He's here to help you experience revival in your life and in your heart. You say, well, Pastor, man, I've just never... You know, I know some things about the Lord, but I have just never trusted Him as my personal Lord and Savior. And to be honest with you, Pastor, I've done a lot of things that, man, if I were to tell you, you would probably look at me and say, why, you can't be saved. First of all, I'd never say that to you. Secondly, Jesus' grace and blood covers it. Amen? I mean, it covers it today. It covers it. Well, I know, but I mean, you just, no, friend, you just have not comprehended. You've not grasped. You've not seen it. God's grace is amazing. He pours it out. He shed it on Calvary, His blood. The perfect sacrifice for me and you. So in a few moments after we pray, then we enter into this time of invitation. Why don't you let the Lord help you along? Take some of that hopelessness away. Take it all away. And get on for the Lord. Amen? Be this, don't be a disobedient testifier like this gentleman was, but be a good obedient testifier. Amen? And take that gospel message. See, we can't get the gospel message out. We can't get it out and get it going and get it wound and send it forth and spread it abroad ourselves personally. We can't do that when we're hung up in hopelessness. Once we get the hopelessness dealt with in our lives, then we're what? We're ready to go, man. We're ready to go. We got to get it out. Let Him help you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Galilean ministry. We thank You for Your touch, for Your healing. We thank You for how You deal with these folks, how You dealt with this one, how You were moved with compassion, how You touched when honestly You didn't have to. But Lord, You wanted to communicate to him. You wanted to communicate to the leper that You were trading places. That You were taking his uncleanliness and You were giving him Your cleanliness. And Lord, I wonder how many folks that are here today that need a touch like that from You. They need to trade some stuff out in their hearts. They need to lay some things down. They need to pick up some hope. They need to receive some Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Let not anyone leave here today, Lord, lost. May they all be washed by the blood and sealed for the day of redemption by Your Holy Spirit. We praise You today, Lord, that we can gather in Your name, that we can preach Your Bible, just preach it straight and true. And Lord, we just ask now that we would have hearts focused upon You and what You would be leading us to do, whether it be to come to the altar or receive Christ, join the church, or, Lord, declare to the congregation that we've received Christ and we want to follow in believers' baptism. May we be obedient, submissive to the moving in our hearts. It's in Your name we pray. And God's people said, let's all stand all over the congregation. The altars are open. You come.